anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard,
normal,
or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
Roger that.
Choices you make could get yourself and everyone under your command killed. But I believe in you, Jim.
Darkness is coming.
This could just be the beginning.
Beginning of what?
All-out war. I request permission to go after him. I cannot allow you to do this.
Jim, you're not actually going after this guy, are you?
Let's go get this son of a bitch.
You are a pawn, Kirk.
Sir, there's a ship heading right for us.
You can't even guarantee the safety of your own crew. Shall we begin?
I'm sorry.
We're outnumbered. Outgunned.
I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. I only know what I can do.
The ship's dead, sir. She's gone.
No, she's not.
No ship should go down without her, Captain.
I believe in you, Jim.
Cheers to a good movie.
Cheers to a good movie. Beer, you're so good.
Hello and welcome to Anomaly. I'm Jen.
I'm Casey.
I'm Angela.
And this is Jim.
And we just saw Star Trek Into Darkness. We're at a restaurant, so you're going to hear ambiance, but we wanted to immediately come somewhere where we can record and have drinks and talk about how flippin' awesome it was. So, the beginning of this podcast, we're going to try to do non-spoiler review. It's only going to be 5 minutes. And then you're going to have to stop if you haven't heard the or haven't seen the movie yet. And then we're going to spoil the heck out of it.
Maybe if we just comment on the direction and the actors and then leave the plot for spoilers.
Let's just go around and do overall impression.
That sounds like a good idea.
Why don't you start, Jen?
Okay. If you haven't seen this movie yet, you need to run to the theater and see it now. We're pretty critical of the last movie. If we didn't love it, we wouldn't be suggesting that you run to a theater.
However, we do suggest people watch bad Star Trek a lot.
We do. We still love it, but we don't tell people to run to it. I think that the cinematography was awesome. The use of 3D in this movie was great. There was nothing that was parlor tricks, in my opinion. I thought it was used well to show depth, because we went to see the 3D version. The acting was phenomenal. And there are twists in the movie that completely took me, you know, I wasn't expecting them at all. I could see the pattern developing, but not for like most of the movie. It was just right at the moment when the twist came that I go, oh, this is happening now. The costumes were awesome. The aliens that they showed were awesome. The plot was great.
I did think that overall it was fun and it was cool and it was very Star Trek. I kind of agree and disagree about the 3D. You said that you liked how they didn't use parlor tricks, and I get that. But sometimes I wish they would do something more immersive, and maybe if I had seen it in IMAX 3D, I would feel different. We just saw it like in a regular theater 3D. And the only part that I really enjoyed the 3D was at the end credits when they were just, you know, this is not a spoiler, but they, for the end credits, they zoomed through space, and it reminded me, Jim and I saw Hubble 3D several years ago, and it was very cool, you know, going into the Orion Nebula and stuff like that, and it kind of reminded me of that, and that was the only part to me that felt like we were flying through space. But the 3D was almost so subtle that I didn't really notice it, and it was cool, and I guess it really did add something, but I was kind of on the 3D. The acting was cool, and we've talked about this before. One of the things we like about Star Wars and Battlestar is that you get this kind of more grittiness than you have in the polished Star Trek. You had that military feeling, you had the feeling that you were in a used real world, but it didn't take away from the Star Trekness of it.
I liked that too, but it was a little polished.
But I thought it was polished in the way that Star Trek needs to be. I liked the balance. I can't really go in anymore without spoiling, so turn this in.
Let's go with Casey.
Well, I'm coming at this from the perspective of someone who wasn't raised on TOS and, you know, has just recently started getting into TNG. I thought the movie was really good. The thing that attracted me the most is, and you two already covered it, was the acting. It was just phenomenal. And I guess we'll go more into it during the spoilery bits. But the direction was also very good as well. Usually J.J. Abrams just focuses on the action and the special effects. And it seems like this time he actually cared about the plot. Because I saw Super 8 and I don't want to talk about it. But yeah, I highly recommend this movie as someone who doesn't really consider herself an original series fan.
And now this is Jim. He's the voice of Anomaly and Angela's husband. Jim, what are your impressions of the movie? Non-spoiler.
Well, you're too kind. No, it was a sensory overload. You know, visually, you've probably seen stuff in the commercials, if you've seen the commercials. You know, the colors, the use of colors. I don't think that there was a whole lot about the 3D that jumped out at me. I don't know that that was necessary, although it was kind of a nice touch at times. It certainly wasn't overdone. It might have been a little bit underdone. But the audio, you know, there were times where I was looking behind me because the sound, the sound itself was almost a 3D experience. You're really immersed in the movie. You know, you're hearing explosions going on behind you. Is that a spoiler? And
I think they know there's probably explosions in a J.J. Abrams movie.
Yeah. You know, I looked over my shoulder the first time and it was like, okay, this is kind of cool. The music was very cool. The use of the music was really neat the way they did that. So yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of eye candy. Fun movie to watch.
Are we ready for spoilers?
Yes, please.
Okay,
yes.
Now stop listening if you haven't watched the movie. Okay.
We can have a commercial break here.
Yeah, commercial break.
I'm gonna take some sips of my beer. Beer.
Now here's a Star Trek parody from Rick Moyer called JJ's to Blame. It's a friendly jab at all the Trekkers who were having debates before the film's release as to whether or not Khan would be in the film and if J.J. Abrams is ruining the franchise or not.
I request permission to go after him. I cannot allow you to do this.
Jim, you're not actually going after this guy, are you?
So much confusion to string you along. It's a difficulty, not sure it's too fun. And I'm superhuman, a Star Trek villain. On the internet now, no one is chilling. Holding back from fandom, no spoilers. Don't wanna be a rehash. Kirk, he gets some, oh no. They never really say my name at all. But there's tons to consider, so what's my name? Aim.
They call me Mud. They call me Shinzo. They call me Nero. They call me Harrison. That's not my name. A Star Trek fame. That's not my name. JJ's to play. They call me God. Face the Priapo. Space Provider. They call me Krug.
Enjoy the movie. Come on, more Trek. Oh no, I don't care who's the villain either way. In this universe, she won't be the same.
They call me Mud. They call me Borg. They call me Khan. They call me Chang. That's not my name. A Star Trek fame. That's not my name. JJ's to blame. They call me Soren. Facelift Riafo. Space World Feature. They call me Cybot. That's not my name. A Star Trek fame. That's not my name. JJ's to blame.
Thanks for sharing the song, Rick. Stick around at the end of this episode for listener comments from Simon Mettings from the Waffle On podcast and Rick Moyer from Take 'Em With You and the Ragtag Fugitive podcast. Thank you guys for sending in your comments. And if any of you have opinions, remember you can always send them in to girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks@gmail.com. You could also use the contact page or the widget on our website, or drop by our podcast fan page on Facebook. You can find all of that and more at anomalypodcast.com. That's anomalypodcast.com. Shields up, red alert. Spoilers decloaking off the starboard bow. Yeah, that was a warning.
I actually told Casey to shut up, which was kind of funny. we were recording.
How is that different from life? I mean, really.
But usually I try to say be quiet.
But we're sitting here and I have a face full of Caesar salad and I'm like, shut up, Casey.
She was violating the prime directive of anomaly.
Well, we always violate the prime directive of anomaly, but this was our mission statement for today, was we were going to go watch the movie, then not talk about it. We didn't talk about it in the car. Instead, we dished dirt about somebody we knew. Yeah, we wanted to keep ourselves out of the way of the movie so that we wouldn't talk about it. I even remember when we went and saw the 2009 version, and we had this great discussion at Chili's, and then when we had our real discussion for the show, it was good, but it wasn't, we were reiterating a lot of things we had already talked about, so we wanted to get our honest opinions as if you were sitting here with us for having dinner after the show and hear what we have to say. So anyway,
that's our,
so here we are fresh right fresh. After wine, so, beer, food,
so this is
and
the non,
movie.
This is the non-spoiler version.
No, it's the spoiler, we already
did. Oh, sorry, this is the spoiler version.
You're ruining the podcast, Angela.
I know. That's what I always do. This is the spoiler version of the podcast. I have to say, honestly, my initial reaction, spoiler version, was I liked it because they were able to bring everything full circle. But sometimes when I understand when I'm being manipulated by art, music, and sometimes I'll go with you. Like, I go see that silly SeaWorld show with the beluga whales and I cry like a baby, the music and everything, and I'm like, the belugas. I get it. I mean, I understand entertainment, I understand why, but there was a point in this movie where I knew I was being manipulated into emotion and I shut down. I was like, oh look, Kirk's gonna die, oh I'm so sad.
Well, to be fair, every single movie we've ever seen together has that effect on you. You're a dramaturg and you just see right through it all.
Do you want me to get this out of your way?
Yes, please. See, this is reality, folks. We are done.
I'll get two boxes, and then is it going to be all on one or separate?
Separate. Us together.
Okay.
Well, there you go. Go ahead, honey.
Being a dramaturg, you feel manipulated pretty much every single movie we see. That's why the only thing you like is Dodgeball and Zoolander and Anchorman and movies like that where it doesn't matter.
I like Lord of the Rings.
I don't think anybody else felt like they were being manipulated.
Okay, well, I'm just putting my honest opinion. Go.
I mean, in terms of writing, yes, the dialogue is something you've seen in films before, but it's really the actors that bring...
Thank you.
Yeah, that's what brings it back to reality. I teared up, or at least made the puppy pouty lip when Zachary Quinto as Spock started to tear up. And
okay.
I'm just like, aw, I want to hold you.
That was very sweet. It was, and I did, I mean, because that's really... The big spoilers, obviously. Jen, why don't you do first one?
The big spoiler?
Give the first big spoiler.
The big spoiler, Kirk dies.
Oh, I thought you... I meant chronologically, the
chronologically.
First one, but that's okay.
Okay, Khan appears. I think this Khan's pretty darn awesome.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
And what is he from?
He's from Sherlock.
Yes!
I love Sherlock.
Let's talk about Benedict Sexy Batch. Oh,
I
can't help it.
Casey, when I'm telling you to bring it down, I am always up. So
I'm bringing down the house. That's what I'm bringing down.
All right. We'll both try to bring it down. Okay, I'm sorry. Cumberbatch, you go. You go.
I love Benedict Cumberbatch as an actor. I've been praising him ever since I saw him in Sherlock. I've seen him in other things as well. By the way, apparently I'm his doppelganger. If you watch the movie Hawking, where he plays Stephen Hawking, he looks just like me, and it's creepy.
He looks like you?
He looks like me! Have you seen him?
And you just called him Benedict Sexy Batch.
Yes, Benedict Sexy Batch.
So you think you're sexy. Is that what you're saying?
Yes!
That's good, that's good.
You're very self-confident.
That's awesome, Casey.
Thank you.
Are you...
Ignore the seller select wine, that was just, you know...
Okay.
Specials.
Thanks.
Cool.
I really like what they did with Khan, and I was also a very big fan of the way that they revealed it. There was a few minutes where I thought, oh my gosh, he's gonna go the complete other way and just and just kill him. He's just going to kill him. And I was like, please tell me they know enough about the universe that they can't do that. And that's when I kind of shut down until the Tribble and everything. And
well, I immediately started thinking, you know, there hasn't been any reference to anything like the Genesis Project, so how are they going to dig themselves out of this hole?
Oh, yes, there was.
Was there?
Carol Marcus was in the movie who created the Genesis Project.
That was her.
Yes, that was her. Yes, nice. I knew as soon as she said her name was Carol, I started suspecting that was her. And then,
nice touch.
The funny thing is that I didn't recognize her name right away, and since she had a British accent, that threw me off, and I immediately thought that somehow she was one of those like Bond girls that are really nice to Bond, and then they double cross. I thought she was gonna be like the double-crossing mole lady.
I think they led you in that direction when she was scanning the missiles.
Right.
Spock caught her in the lie.
Yeah.
What's interesting about her is that she was the only character who they allowed the actress to reveal her identity. They wouldn't let anybody else talk about spoilers, but she was allowed to say that she was playing Carol Marcus.
Oh, I didn't know that. I hadn't been watching any of the...
We came in completely spoiled. I really had no idea what to expect. This time of year, I don't get 5 seconds to sleep, let alone go see a movie. And so the idea that this came out right now, I was like, oh yeah, Star Trek. And Jenny practically had to drag me here, even though I was very excited to see it. It just kind of caught me by surprise. So I had not been watching anything. I didn't go into this with any expectations. However, can I talk about Uhura now? Okay.
Oh, before we go on, I was a little disappointed, you know, during the scene, you know, since we're talking about spoilers, you know, essentially what happens is the warp core comes out of alignment, and then Kirk goes into the warp core, into the zone where he gets the full radiation dose, and then instead of Spock, so he comes back, and they meet on the other side of the glass, and, you know, hold up their hands, and so they get on each side of the glass, and Spock puts up the Vulcan hand, whatever you call it, and Kirk reaches out to him, and at this point, it's obvious that they've basically remade a scene from Wrath of Khan, and Spock says, James, you are my friend, and I felt like it didn't do it for me, because he was supposed to say, you are and always will be my friend, so I felt like they missed the opportunity, because it would have been really cool if they had worked that classic line back into it.
Yeah. Also, something else I have to call out, in the age of information, I know they want to keep Khan a secret, I really do, but they shouldn't have denied it from the very beginning. They should have just let people believe what they believed, because J.J. Abrams said explicitly, Khan is not in this movie.
He also said at the beginning of Lost, when the rumors were flying about where they were, what the island was, that it was not Purgatory, and that did not end up being the truth either.
Yeah.
So, we have a history.
Yeah, and, you know, the same thing happened with Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight Rises, and I'm totally going to spoil Dark Knight Rises, too.
No, don't.
Well, just put a spoiler alert for Dark Knight Rises. It's been a year.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it by this point, it's not on your prerogative. But, you know, Talia al Ghul was in that movie, and they denied that she was in the movie. And yes, she was. So, you know, just don't say anything to the filmmakers who are listening, which are like one of you.
I guess I'm the only one who was emotionally moved by the death scene of Kirk in the movie. Because
I was moved.
They were just repeating that scene that happened in Wrath of Khan, only it was flipped. It's an alternate universe, so they're switching. I wasn't even expecting that to happen at all. I did kind of suspect that they were going to use Khan's blood to bring him back. Spock was brought back to life, so I thought, well, if they're reflecting what happened in Wrath of Khan, that probably will happen. In search of Spock, he was brought back to life. Spoiler alert! But one of the things I also really liked was how all the actors portray their characters. I really believed that Pine was Kirk and that Quinto was Spock. They all did really, it's almost like they went and did their homework on how to play those characters.
But it didn't feel like a character.
No, it wasn't like they were just doing an impression of William Shatner or Leonard Nimoy. Yeah. But they had picked up on some of the quirks, like the way Kirk enters the bridge.
Yeah.
You know, and he has that saunter and looks around, and the way he addresses people when he looks down and he kind of looks up with that squinty eye, you know, it was just well done, and I just really felt like they had learned more about their character in the time between the last movie and now. I didn't really love the last movie, and this one I think ranks really high for me.
Yeah, I definitely like this movie a lot better than I liked the last movie, and I didn't hate the last movie. I've been raised on Joss Whedon, which means everybody's a casualty. You know, anyone can be a casualty. So my fears were, are they going to make Kirk and Khan actual allies? The idea of that kind of freaked me out. Like, what is he going to do different? Like, what's going to be the difference? And then the other thing was, are they just going to kill off Kirk? Is he just going to be like, screw all of you, I'm just going to kill off Kirk, and we're just going to have Star Trek without Kirk? And there was part of me that was like, what if he does that? I mean, I'm sure we would have found out by now, but the idea of him maybe doing that, like, kind of made me mad, and that's why I didn't have that emotional reaction. But when they were able to, you know, bring it full circle and bring him back, I thought that was really cool. And I feel bad about Christopher Pike, because I liked that they were keeping him around a little bit. He was such a good character, but he was kind of the Obi-Wan, and on the journey, Obi-Wan does have to die eventually.
In classic literature, that always happens. The parents die so that the children can progress.
Disney movies, that happens. The parents always die.
There were a few things that did stand out to me, like, okay, why is that a problem if they had done it before? Like, for instance, they beamed Carol off of the bridge while the shields were up, and yet Khan was demanding that Kirk lower the shields so that he can beam the torpedoes out of the Enterprise.
Right.
And I was like, why is that a problem?
Hold on.
Couldn't they do that?
And I have another one for you.
The very beginning of the movie is the guy gets manipulated because his child's dying of cancer, and it has been well established by this time in history that most of those sicknesses, or the vast majority of those sicknesses, if not all of them, have been obliterated. So there would not necessarily be childhood cancer.
Was it cancer, though?
Yeah, I don't know, but it kind of made that...
led you to believe the hair was...
Kid, yeah, the head was... And also, the hair falls out because of chemo. They don't have chemo. They don't.
In that era.
They don't. That's, yeah. It's well established that they
it
don't have...
It could have been another disease. I didn't know...
Could have been, but I'm just saying that... You never hear about anybody dying of disease in that time period, but, like, that was necessary for the plot to happen. I'm just saying.
I think that part affected you quite a bit. I could tell. But it affected me, too. And I don't cry a lot in movies. I try hard not to. It affected me at that point and when Kirk died.
It could be that Khan set her up. I mean, you know, you've got a super intelligent bad guy who's manipulating people. He could have orchestrated the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, and made the little girl sick.
Yeah.
True, but I think the fact that the father loved her enough to sacrifice himself, but he also sent a transmission right before he died to say he was told to do
that. That was another thing, too, that was kind of funny. And see, I can't decide if it's one of those things that I kind of like about it, because the thing I do like is that it is kind of convenient, a lot of the things that happen, but I kind of like that. Is that, oh, well, isn't it convenient that he said all this information? And then is it convenient that Scotty was just able to find this device? We know exactly where he is. And it's like, that's cool. I'm glad that we were able to. But it just seemed like, in a way, though, that's very Star Trek. Like, yeah. Obviously.
Do you like Uhura any better in this movie than you did in the last? Because
nope.
One of our complaints about her in the last movie was that she was reduced to a love interest in the first movie. I think that her role was elevated in this version, where she had some hand in capturing Khan, and in, you know, the fight scene between Spock and Khan, she helped defeat him. I think that she's got a better place in this movie than she did the last movie.
Her stock went up a little, but not enough for me. The thing is that they couldn't have changed her enough to make me happy and be continuous with how they treated her before. It wouldn't have made any sense. So for them to keep her kind of where she was in the first place and also add a little bit, the scene I liked the best of hers was when she went and talked to the Klingons. That was cool. And I also, just on the same note, I love the Klingon makeup. I liked that. I liked the prosthetics on the Klingons this time.
Klingons looked cool. I liked the masks.
Yeah.
It was like a cross between like Stormtroopers and Bane or something. They had these crazy battle masks that looked real cool.
I didn't like it as much. I don't know if it's supposed to be eugenics, you know, because in Enterprise, the Klingons went through a eugenics process to kind of explain why in TOS they look like humans. In Enterprise, they decided that they experimented with the same eugenics, you know, to make themselves look human so that they can infiltrate Earth, you know, in Starfleet.
Okay.
And I don't know if that was going on or if they're reinventing what the Klingons look like in this movie, just like they did in the 80s during Wrath of Khan. You know,
right.
When we saw them for the first time, they had bumpy faces. So now they're like in a middle ground. They're not quite human. They're not quite Klingon. They're in the middle.
I liked it, though. I thought it was cool. But you know, back to my thing about Uhura, I did like her decision to go and talk to them and try to do that. But still, even at the end of that scene, she became a damsel in distress that someone had to save. It was cool that while they were fighting, she got to stab that guy in the nuts, but...
She did. I don't think she kind of saved herself.
And she did. No, that's really awesome. But wouldn't it have been more awesome if when he picked her up, she would have headbutted him? That would have been awesome.
She would have knocked herself out.
I realize like, that, but like, I am a Buffy, so that could happen. I mean, it is fantasy when it comes down to it. But like, I don't know if it would have been something else other than, oh no, I'm about to get hurt. And then somebody saves her. And then she's able to get in that final blow.
What about Carol Marcus? She deactivated the bomb before it went off when it closed on McCoy's arm. I mean, they did a pretty good job with her.
Oh, I thought that was good. I'm not saying women in general.
Yeah.
My main
question is
Uhura. Is Uhura. And I don't want anyone to mistake. I like Zoe Saldana. I like her. I like her as an actress, and I think that in a lot of the things she did good, but see how they used her to do the emotional things, like have the emotional conversations, and I just feel like, come on, Gene Roddenberry's whole point was to be better than that. And here we are, J.J. Abrams, and you've figured out so many things, and that's one thing we haven't figured out, is how to make her better than the reason we're talking about our feelings now. But I did enjoy that conversation where he's like, don't bring me into this.
Oh, yeah, on the ship when they were arguing, have their lovers spat. The elevator scene was funny, too. He was talking about how Spock had stabbed him in the back, and he was mad at him, and Uhura indicates that they're having issues too, and he's like, y'all are arguing? How does that even happen?
Like, what does that look like?
What does that even like? That was a pretty good scene.
And you get to see what it looks like.
Oh, yeah. It's silent.
Is very calm, and she's just lashing out, and he's just like, I'm just trying to explain that this is.
Yeah. Well, one other thing I would like to bring up is that there is like this Star Trek argument that a lot of people have about why didn't they ever just beam a proton torpedo onto a ship and destroy it that way? I mean, that would have taken care of so many problems with the Borg and everyone else. And they did it in this movie. Almost like an homage.
One of the things I wish they would have done that would have thrown a little bit of a loop, I wish they would have killed Khan. I wish they would have like had him cut up in like tiny little pieces so it was like not a soap opera death, but like an actual death, and then maybe indicated that it was one of the other ones that Spock saved. Because now something could go wrong at the facility, he could still wake up, you know, there's all these...
I like that.
I do too. I'm glad they saved him because I want him to come back. He's such a good foe.
I mean, I do think he's awesome. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, if they were going to do something to throw us a curveball, that would not have bothered me.
Dude, Peter Weller was awesome. He was
agree.
So good. He was such a good choice for a big bad.
Where
say.
Do I recognize him from? I know the name, I know his voice,
oh,
but I didn't recognize
stuff.
His face.
Oh.
Now I put you on the spot.
Yeah, I don't want to mention the obvious, but you see him all over the place.
Tell me your secrets!
That I think him and William Burroughs were good buddies. Obviously RoboCop.
Did he play RoboCop?
He did. And there's a bunch of other stuff. It's just, now that I'm on the spot, I can't think of it. Oh, he's super, super famous. Wasn't...
Why can't we talk about RoboCop?
too obvious.
Okay. Anyway, no, that was really good. And I like the secret ship and
all the
how,
ships.
Oh, all the
all
ships.
All the ships, yeah.
Are amazing.
The Klingon, it had kind of some mini Bird of Prey.
You know, that ship that he was using to attack the admirals and the captains that gathered at Starfleet Command?
Yeah.
That reminded me of a ghost ship from Halo.
Interesting. I haven't played Halo as much as you, but that was pretty cool.
No, I haven't played any of them except the first one,
okay.
And it just reminded me of that.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. But yeah, I like that, and I like the idea that because it's an alternate universe, this is the things I like about the alternate universe are that there's these little changes in design that are okay, because maybe in that alternate universe, you know, something happened and... You know, the person who designed something maybe designed it quicker, or or didn't, you know, so those little changes can happen and it's totally okay. I like that.
Like the hats. What did y'all think of the hats?
I liked it because it was military. I kind of like when you get into Starfleet that it has that military feeling, and when you get into certain levels, everybody's the same as far as the gray, like the command gray that it looked like they all had. I thought that was kind of cool because, of course, when they're on the ship, they have different uniform on the ship than they have when they're in at headquarters. I like that.
I think that's the only part of the costuming I did not like. Not because it wasn't done well. Yeah. It was. It's just, it took me out of Star Trek. Mm. It was all of a sudden 1960s Vietnam era.
I don't know.
Military,
I thought it was very
uniforms.
Navy. Well, at the same time, the show was made in the 1960s, and the suit uniforms with the yellows and the reds and the stuff, they updated it a little bit, but it still kind of had that 60s cut. I mean, Hoover is still wearing a short skirt, let's face it. So it would make sense for their military to...
Dress uniforms?
Yes, thank you. To look more like the 60s era, because trends come back. We're going through it now with the 90s.
The early 90s.
I haven't seen grunge yet.
Yeah, it's the early 90s. I have a theory about that, but yeah. I'm going to digress.
We graduated in the 90s, so we have opinions.
We did. No, I like the costumes. In fact, I noticed at the end when Bones was in there, I noticed the cut and the creases in his pants I really liked. I know that sounds like a weird thing to notice, but I enjoy the cut and the style of all of the costumes. I really like it.
I agree. I know. Yeah.
One thing I do want to bring up is Leonard Nimoy's cameo.
Yeah.
For one thing, yay.
They pretty much said that was never going to happen, that he was done doing it.
Yeah.
Well, they lied about everything else.
They did.
Yeah. The producers lie about everything.
They do.
It interests me that Spock has such a history with Khan that he's willing to divulge in that information with this alternate reality instead of letting them go their own course.
Yeah. I wonder, they cut the scene before he told them how they beat Khan the last time. Mm-hmm. And the sacrifice was made by Kirk right after that.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if he told them, well, I died and then I was brought back to life.
Yeah.
But I was glad that Spock from the new movie was able to kick Khan's butt. Because I thought if anybody could, it would be Spock. Because he has more strength.
He does.
Than Kirk? The human suit.
Yeah. But also, in Uhura's defense, nothing beats a good blaster to the face. Or a phaser.
It was
nothing beats
was
a good phaser
stun,
to the face.
Obviously.
Still.
Yeah.
Although a part of me thinks if she said it to kill, it would have stunned him.
That's true.
Because he has regenerative properties to
probably,
his DNA.
Yeah. How do you kill someone like that?
You
blow up a ship with him
like
on it.
It's not like he's Wolverine. I mean, he's still... I mean, he has regenerative powers, but I think it's more like Buffy than Wolverine.
You see, whenever they said regenerative, I just thought of Doctor Who, and I'm just like, does he just turn into a different person?
No. I honestly think that because of the genetic mutation, my brain honestly feels like, you know, you got Wolverine who, when he gets hurt, he's healing automatically. But then you have Buffy, you know, she has supernatural powers, so she has, and superhuman strength, so I'm thinking it's more like Buffy because she can still get hurt. Like, if somebody gets a good blow, or if she's not watching, she can still get hurt. She just heals a little faster, whereas Wolverine, boom, 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 I think he's more like Buffy.
Buffy still got hurt, but at the same time, when Khan was getting blows to the face from Kirk, he would just stand there and be like, is that it?
That could happen to Buffy, though. Like, if she had attitude, I think. I think so. How many times does she get in giant... I mean, when she was in fights with vampires, who also are of superior strength. Yeah. So here's somebody who's not of superior strength fighting, you know, because she's fighting people who are supposed to be of the same strength or just a little under her. If Kirk is way less than what... Then that is how it would go down.
Spock broke his arm. That was awesome.
That was awesome.
That
but
was awesome.
Also, Spock was in that situation where...
He let go of his emotions.
He let go of his emotions, and so his... so it's like
he unleashed them.
Lifting a car off her baby.
You know what that fight reminds me of now? It reminds me of the fights between Glory and Buffy in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
See? There you go.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I don't know.
Interesting.
Oh,
interesting how this just keep talking. Let me bring it back.
No. I'm looking. I had to look it up because it was killing me. But okay. The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai.
Oh, that's yours. You do love that movie.
Leviathan.
I
He was actually in some episodes of Enterprise. Monk.
That's probably
Psych,
why I recognize
24.
His voice.
Oh, okay. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
Did y'all have a problem with him not having a Spanish accent like Ricardo Montalban?
No.
Con?
No, not at all.
Because he has a nice English accent that I could listen to all day.
I loved him in Sherlock, and I think he made a damn good villain
in Star
Trek.
Amazing. Oh, yeah. I think it was an amazing villain.
It was scary.
What did you think?
It was scary.
I like that cool English. You know who it kind of reminded me of, though, was the villain in Serenity. The guy, the operative. It kind of reminded me of that kind of feeling, like, I'm just doing this and I don't care. In my mind, this is all right, so I'm going to kill you and everyone you love, and you just have to deal with it.
Yeah, there's nothing more scary than a villain who seriously believes he is in the right.
Yeah.
And Benedict Cumberbatch, I mean, you watch him in Sherlock, and he has more Spock tendencies because he is emotionless and he doesn't care. But seeing him go the emotional route and have superhuman strength, it's such a difference to his character. It really is. It's going to be interesting to see him as, well, not him, but he's going to be Smaug in The Hobbit.
Oh, cool. I did not know that.
Yeah, so that's going to be an interesting performance, too.
Cool.
Yeah.
So he's really nerding it up. I'm just glad he didn't say, buried alive, buried alive, buried alive. They didn't copy it to that degree.
So it will be interesting to see where they go from here.
I agree. I am excited about the next ones. I mean, the first movie, I was kind of meh on. This one, like, completely changed my mind. I am totally sold on the reimagining.
From what I've heard in previews, Benedict Cumberbatch is getting, like, the most praise. It would be interesting to see something like, we saw the Thor preview before the movie, and they're bringing Loki back as an ally. And people love Loki, too, so I'm wondering if that's a possibility with Khan in the future.
Yeah, if they find someone, maybe even a new villain, who's even worse, because, I don't know. I mean, because they did not, I mean, they didn't kill... all of his people are still there.
I don't think he would be friendly towards Kirk after that. Just saying. He'd get frozen again.
Yeah, he would just as soon kill you as look at you, but he's also not stupid. If he did have something to gain, he would go with them as long as it was convenient for him. It would just be interesting to see.
That scene where they were flying from the Enterprise to the Dreadnought ship was awesome.
Yeah.
And I wasn't expecting Khan to help him maneuver
through
that.
Too, is that at some point. And that's a really good example, because when they were doing that, he thought he needed him, at least for backup.
They were helping Khan at that point. That was a good line.
Yeah.
How many thumbs up do we give this?
Out of how many?
Let's say we each have two thumbs, so...
I hope we only have two thumbs.
Oh, well,
six thumbs up?
It was like... Isn't that eight?
Oh, well, I'm not counting Jim. I'm sorry. How many thumbs up? Two thumbs up for Jim.
So good. Two thumbs up.
Two thumbs up for me.
I'll give two thumbs up.
Yes.
So that I'm not... So I'm not the odd man out.
Yes. That was our review of Star Trek Into Darkness. If you haven't seen it and you listen to all the spoilers, we're glad we could spoil it for you. It was
and
a good
we
movie.
Saved you how many... How much... However long this is going to be,
yeah.
We saved you that.
But you should see it anyway.
Yep. Worth it.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you.
Printing out emails. Here come the emails being printed out.
Hello, Jen and Angela over there at Anomaly. This is Meds from Waffle On Podcast, and of course, one of the writers of Martian Creative. So, Star Trek Into the Darkness. Well, I saw it last Thursday. A couple of weeks ago now, because we got it here earlier than in America, which is unusual, obviously. And thankfully, it looks like people are being quite cool with the old spoilers, which is rather nice and also very decent, everyone. My initial reaction when seeing it was loved it, absolutely loved it. I saw it in standard 2D edition, as it should be, in my mind. Really quite liked it. So Benedict Cumberbatch is Khan, and you know, pretty good villain. He's near enough brilliant in anything he does. He's turned as Sherlock. He's second to none. Afterwards, though, a couple of hours later, maybe the next day, I started to have a bit more of a think, and, you know, it had all settled in. And I still really like it. I'm looking forward to going to see it again. But the thing that sticks out is there's some very lazy writing in it. And by that, I mean, you know, they've taken really the Wrath of Khan and move things around a little bit. You know, you got Spock shouting Khan, and you've got Kirk dying instead of Spock. You know, it's like, oh, really? Could you not have just come up with another, you know, just another villain, really? I mean, Benedict Cumberbatch could have been fantastic as anybody. You didn't need to name him Khan. You certainly didn't need to borrow lines from the old film. And also having Nimoy Spock turn up for 30 seconds? Just to say, mention the old film was crap, really. It was rubbish. I mean, don't get me wrong, I always liked seeing Nimoy, you know, he's great. But, you know, we've done that. You had that in the first film. You don't need to do it again. That laid it down for me. It really did. Thankfully, we won't get, you know, the next Star Trek film won't be obviously Search for Spock, and thankfully not Search for Kirk. Would have been an excuse to get Shatner involved, I suppose. But, you know, it's only a mild criticism, but they had 4 years to write this film. I'm sure they could have come up with something original instead of just using Khan. But, you know, at the end of the day, I came out, I gave it a big thumbs up. I'm certainly looking forward to buying it on Blu-ray when it comes out. Anyway, really looking forward to hearing your views, as always. And thank you for producing such a wonderful show. And take care, and I will speak to you soon.
Hi, ladies. This is Rick Moyer, all the way from the West Coast, Aberdeen, Washington. Yeah, right next to the ocean, in the country where it rains all the time. We don't tan, we rust. I wanted to tell you how much I enjoyed the new Star Trek movie, Into Darkness. Went and saw it on the couple of days before it came out. We got special tickets for the IMAX 3D showing. And my son Nathan picked me up, and we drove an hour away to see it because that's where the theater that had it was. And we watched it at 8:00 in the evening, and it did not disappoint. It was such a great movie. I felt like it had a lot of the spirit of the original show in it. And it was, even though it was different, and even though they kind of used some rehashed characters and stuff, it was different enough that it kept my attention, and it was fun, and it was cool. And Cumberbatch, is that how you say his name? Cumberbunch, Cumberbatch, Cumber whatever, Cucumber. Anyway, he did a great job as the villain. He was just a, shall we begin? You know, he was really great, and I liked him a lot. So, great stuff. And all the really funny, the banter between the characters was so funny. Bones rocked it. Man, Uhura kicked some butt, did she not? And what do you think of those Klingons with those goofy eyes, huh? And the rings in his ridges. Yeah, anyway, great movie. I give it, out of 5 stars, I give it 4.5 stars. It was that good. And I think it was better than the first movie from JJ. So there you go. So, yeah, thanks, ladies, for talking about Into Darkness, Star Trek. I loved it. I know I'm a fanboy, but I still loved it. So thanks.
We like stars. All the stars in the sky. Especially the stars you give us on iTunes. To us, you are the biggest star in the cosmos. Go to iTunes and give us a rating. Thanks.
You can hear Anomaly on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, iPad, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones, on demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. You can also catch the latest episodes of our favorite shows on Stitcher. Podcasts like Take Him With You, Tales from the Mouse House, Waffle On, Upper Memory Block, Treks in Sci-Fi, Ladies of Leet, and much more.
Visit anomalypodcast.com. That's ANOMALY podcast.com.